Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the third in our current round of interviews with likely New York City mayoral contenders. Public advocate Bill de Blasio is here. He has just proposed a new plan to use pension funds to create local jobs. We'll talk to him about that and a few other things. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
First, tell me how you want to use the city's largest pension fund to create jobs. It's not a link that most people naturally make.
No, and it's a link we have to make. Let me just give you the theory for a second. First of all, that we know the federal government is not going to be there for us in the way we'd like in New York City. We have a very troubled infrastructure. It will decide our economic future, whether we fix this infrastructure or not. We have about 9% unemployment. One of the necessary tools is for the public sector to play a stimulative role. We know only so much of that will happen from Washington or Albany in the current dynamic. So I'm a Keynesian, and I think there's a local application for Keynesianism, and that is to use whatever tools you can to stimulate the economy, create jobs, and set the stage for the future economy. So,
by Keynesian, you mean that government investment will stimulate the economy, and that will get the private sector going more than it would have.
Exactly correct. Exactly correct. And that you can't replace that role of government investment. In other words, sometimes it is indispensable. I think we're in one of those moments. So the example we talked about in our proposal is it's about a $1.2 billion plan. Now, remember, New York City has $110 billion in pension investments right now between our five funds. So $1.2 billion is a modest piece, but would be very helpful in terms of stimulating elements of our economy. $400 million is for affordable housing programs that are working right now. And here's the amazing thing, Brian. This money is authorized. We should and could be spending this $400 million, but our pension fund has not done that yet. I think there's been, bluntly, a failure of focus and will, and we need to fix that now. The second piece is $800 million. That's about 2% of the pension fund I'm in, NYSERS, I'm on the board of. And that would be for infrastructure projects. We all know the bridges that are in desperate shape, roads, schools, et cetera. So many ways we could apply that money to help finance those projects. We can get a decent return on investment. In fact, those affordable housing investments right now are getting a better return on investment than traditional stocks, et cetera. And so this, to me, is the shape of things to come. Use publicly controlled assets to maximize economic activity and do some of the things that are not going to happen because of the failures of other levels of government.
How much does it matter to you whether affordable housing is a good investment for the pension fund? I understand you think there's a social benefit.
Absolutely.
With the jobs and the housing it would create, but there is a profit. Is there a profit to be had there? And should pension funds, when we're already in kind of a pension fund shortage or bubble, be responsible for making the investments that city and state government should be making out of their operating funds?
Well, there's a couple ways to answer that. First of all, in terms of the social good, the current investment by the NYSERS pension fund here in the city is in the process of creating 14,000 units of affordable housing. That's a very substantial impact for the city in a dynamic that you well know, where working class, middle class people cannot live here anymore. That's a big change and a valuable one in and of itself. But to your core point, yes, these current investments are getting about 7% return on investment. A lot of the rest of our portfolio is down around 6%. So this is quite solid. You know what's happened in the markets in the last 4 years. This has actually been more consistent, more solid. And the final point to your question, if we had any faith that the logjam in Washington was going to be broken by the next election, this might be a somewhat different discussion. But there's no conceivable way that either party ends up with the kind of majorities and the balance of Congress and president to be able to actually move a substantial program.
How is it that an affordable housing investment is returning 7%? Presumably, the free market developers would be running to it if they knew that they could get that much money. And the fact that it's quote-unquote affordable housing means that the government is having to subsidize it. So how is it also turning a 7% profit?
Well, first of all, a number of private developers have moved to affordable housing in recent years, in part because it has a certain amount of government backing and is more reliable than what they've experienced in the private market. Second, there is an income flow off it. That's what defines a reliable investment, is their regular income coming off of it. Remember, even in an affordable housing context, tenants are still paying a rent. We're not talking about giveaway housing. We're talking about housing in which tenants consistently pay a rent, and you can have other elements in a building, retail space, et cetera, that might generate income. So that's where you get that consistency necessary. But there's there's a double bottom line. We have to provide the return on investment to take care of our retirees and the fiscal health of our pension funds. But we can get a second bottom line impact on our local economy.
New York City public advocate Bill de Blasio, 212-433-WNYC, if you want to join the conversation. Is this, in a way, a shot at John Liu, who's the controller, who has the biggest say in how city pension funds are invested, and another likely mayoral hopeful?
Not at all. This is, I think, more of an indictment on the history of how pension funds in general have handled this type of opportunity. Most pension funds are very conservative, uncreative. This is what I've learned in the last 2 years serving on one. And my role gives me on the NYSE's board the same voting power as the comptroller or the mayor. And I've had to do a lot of study, bluntly, to understand how it works here and around the country. California, Florida, North Carolina, there's a few places that are really innovating the use of pension fund money to create infrastructure, job creation, economic stimulus. But that's really been only in the last few years. Previously, pension funds were, particularly before the market crash, extremely conservative and traditional and unwilling to see that double bottom line possibility. I think it's become a lot clearer because of the economic crisis.
NYSERs, by the way, you've used that term a couple of times, as the New York City Employees Retirement System.
That's right. It's the largest of our five pension funds here in the city.
So you have a vote on the board, the mayor, the controller. And others. Is affordable the city's pension costs, and in a way this is a different question, even though it's also about pensions. The city's pension costs have risen 500% since 2002 when Mayor Bloomberg took office. It now accounts for 12% of the city's budget each year, just donating to the pension fund so that they can keep all the promises that have been made to employees. Mayor Bloomberg and others say this is approaching crisis proportions. The city taxpayers are donating so much more to current and future pensions than we ever had to in the past. If you're mayor someday, what do you plan to do with that ballooning costs of pensions? Do you have to go to war with the unions over this?
I think you can work with the unions to fix it. I think it has to be fixed. I don't disagree with the mayor's core assumption that $8 billion out of our current city budget to cover pension obligations is unacceptable and unsustainable. It was only $1.5 billion when the mayor came in, so it's really gone in, a very dangerous direction. I think the two points are interrelated. I think in terms of fixing our budget and stimulating our economy, we have to use our pension funds to stimulate in a way we haven't before. So that's a positive use of pension funds. But we also have to reduce the public budget exposure. I think you do that through pension reform. You do it with labor. Bluntly, I believe in labor, and I think there's a fantastic example right now in Detroit with the United Auto Workers, but there's other examples here in the city and state. If brought to the table productively, a lot of folks in labor know more acceptable solutions that they can live with, others they can't. But we can find that balance point. I think it requires labor's buy-in. But what I would say to labor is, for the long-term fiscal health of New York City and our ability to employ a public workforce for the things we need, we've got to get pension reform right.
Chris in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with New York City public advocate Bill de Blasio. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I'm a city worker. I work for the fire department. And, the mayor's going with this national trend of squashing unions and making us contribute more to our pensions. I just saw a paper today at my station saying how we're going to either be able to, in the future, new hires are either going to put into a 401k or go into the pension but they're going to have to contribute a lot more to it. So, you know, it's making things a lot harder for us, at least new people coming in. If we have this surplus or whatever you want to call it that we're going to be able to invest with this pension money, why would the mayor be making it, you know, so much more difficult? We're not here for the, you know, we're not here for the, for a high salary. We're pretty much here mainly for the benefits and the pension. So, you know, I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, and thank you for your call, and thank you for your service to the city. I think it's two different points. I think with the pension fund investments, we can help our economy, but it doesn't help our city budget. I think with the city budget, we can figure out a way, again, with the labor unions, to figure out how to save on that huge, that $8 billion we're spending right now on pensions. Again, I think that's in everyone's long-term benefit. But there's a way to do it in cooperation with labor. You know, the 401k piece, I just have to say, this is an area that worries me a lot. It reminds me of the attempt by George W. Bush to privatize Social Security. You can believe we need pension reform, as I do, but not believe in what's called a defined contribution system that is basically a privatization. I think it's bad public policy. I think it's unreliable, especially given the way the markets have been in the last few years. So I think even those who want reform like me can say there's some places we won't go, like defined contribution plans.
And Bob in Rego Park, you're on WNYC with Bill de Blasio. Hello.
How you doing, Brian? Doing a great job. I'd like to ask you a question. Whether you make $50,000 a year or $500,000 in New York City, you pay the same rate. The city would raise billions of dollars for all the people. If you run for mayor, will you increase the tax rate on the wealthiest people in New York? Because they're not moving out of the city. They're not going anywhere. I want a very specific answer on this question.
Bob is ready to join the debate questioners panel.
Yes, it was good.
When we get to 2013.
It was forceful. I like it. Look, the first thing I would like to do is not try and raise the budget and raise revenue just for the sake of raising our budget. I think I would like to see what we can do within our own budget. I've said many times I think there's a lot of waste in the city budget, the Department of Education being the place where I think it's most egregious. I think there's forms of pension reform we can do that will save money in our current budget and allow us to do better things with that money to help people all across the city and employ public workers to do important work. So that's my first impulse. There very well may be a time when we say we need additional revenue. And when we need additional revenue, it has to be for a specific purpose, it has to have a clear timeline, and it should be progressive. And I think this gets to the questioner's point. It should be progressive, meaning upper-income people should pay more.
So are you disagreeing for the moment with Scott Stringer's call to make it more progressive today, to impose a new millionaire's tax?
No.
By a little bit, and reduce the tax rate for a lot of middle-class New Yorkers?
Scott, like Governor Cuomo, are working within the existing revenue model and just changing the percentages. And I think there's a lot of merit in that. I think your caller was asking a fair question. Should we go farther than that? And I think the day may come when we have to, but I'd first like to see what we can do to fix our current budget.
Couple last things in our couple of last minutes. We had a call in last hour for listeners about the experience of being stopped and frisked because of the stats out today. Record number of stops and frisks, another record, 680,000 plus in 2011. Just 1%, less than 1%, resulted in gun arrests. And as you know, 87% of those stopped were black or Latino. If you were mayor, would you do anything specifically to change the program, or do you think they're doing the right thing?
I will start with the disclaimer that it's not time for declaring mayoral candidacies. I'm going to speak as public advocate. We need to immediately end the current approach to stop and frisk. It is untenable. It's unacceptable. It is dividing police and communities, period. The numbers we're seeing, 600,000 plus, are unbelievable to me. I've tried to ask experts in public safety who have the long view in New York City, and what I typically get is an answer that something in the 100,000 to 200,000 range would represent the actual constitutional appropriate use of police procedure in the stop and frisk mode. It's now become something so overused that it does nothing but create division. I know police officers don't like doing it with a broad brush either. I think a lot of police officers would prefer to do it in a narrow and, again, more constitutionally appropriate manner. So bluntly, Brian, this policy could be turned on a dime. And as public advocate, I call for that to happen now. If I were in another office, I would order it to happen.
Last question. What do you think of the subsidies that the city is proposing to give Fresh Direct to not move to New Jersey. Again, John Lynn, who's going to be on the show on Friday. But John Liu, I've got Lynn on the brain, like
everybody
like
every other else. New Yorker.
No, I've got the television monitors here in the studio. Listeners can't see that, but we have, in case news breaks, we have a number of news channels up. I just keep seeing that Lynn three-point shot at the end of the game over and over again. It's on the local channels. It's on the national channels. So, yes, it's John Liu.
We're going to ask ourselves, what would Jeremy Lin do from now on in all situations?
Exactly. WWLD.
That's right.
But John Liu says the city should not be offering Fresh Direct such a large subsidy package to stay in the city to not defect to New Jersey.
I think John Liu is asking the right question. I very much want Fresh Direct to stay in the city, and I think that was the first mission here to make sure they didn't leave. But it's a lot of money, and I wonder, even though the deal is currently struck, a lot of things happen and things change over time. I wonder if we can't get a better bang for the buck or spend less. I'll tell you one thing. I did a study of our economic development subsidies. The city of New York doesn't even track the money we spend and the bang we get for the buck. This is a big reform we have to make. Sometimes we're giving away subsidies without even knowing what we're getting back. So I have a lot of questions about Fresh Direct.
You're a tall guy. How tall are you?
6'5".
Have you played basketball?
Long ago and far away.
Are you a victim of Lin sanity?
Of course. Who couldn't be? I think it's a wonderful story.
New York City public advocate Bill de Blasio, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in just a minute. Director Wim Wenders, the latest guest in our series on the five nominees for the Best Documentary Oscar. Wenders made Pina, about the choreographer Pina Bausch. Stay with us.